Hello, podcasters and listeners. Welcome to another edition of the Vodcast Podcast, Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. Once again, we're doing the video, and hopefully you're not hitting stop right now. And we're doing the audio, and hopefully you're still listening. So, you know, it kind of works out. I'm your host, Tim Estradol, and once again, joining me from the windy city of Chicago is Jill Simonello.
Hello, and you'll notice I am sporting my Blackhawks hat today. We've decided it's Ball Cat Friday here in Chicago.
And it's camo, too.
It is.
Which
it
I'm is. Saying is going to blow up the internet. I mean, just... Drux girl camo, what?
I know. Yeah. Free giveaway from the Blackhawks, by the way, at one of the games. So, best hat ever.
We are going to talk NIAS, otherwise known as the Detroit Auto Show. I'm going to try to keep the ball rolling. I watched last week's episode, and maybe we got a little carried away. Maybe. Jill, who's fresh off...
What do you think? He talks too much.
That, too. Jill, who's off of zero sleep in the Detroit show, is here to talk to us about what happened at the show. So let's kick it off with I think the item that's getting the most coverage from my distance away from the show, and we talked about, was the Ram 1500 reveal. That was a big deal.
You know, it really was. And so the interesting thing about the Ram 1500 is the level of detail that they went into during the press preview and the actual interviews. I had two interviews with Jim Morrison, who is in charge of Ram North America. And, you know, just like interesting little details, like the rear seat that reclines. So there's like a little button you push and you can recline back. And they have heated and cooled seats in the rear. And this really cool 12-inch monitor that, I mean, seriously larger than an iPad. And so, I mean, just a lot of interesting details and features that they released on the Ram, which, you know, the other two trucks launched at the show were the Ranger, the Ford Ranger, and the Chevrolet Silverado. Like, it didn't feel like you got the level of detail on those two trucks that you got with the Ram. And so it was just, it was interesting. And the attention to detail on the interior, you know, I was just joking around with Jim and I was like, so is this like, you know, below the Tungsten model? Because if you'll remember, they launched the Tungsten up-level trim for Ram 1500 right before coming into this model year. And he's like, oh, no, you might even find this to be better. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the features and details that they had in the Tungsten model, and granted, I was looking at a limited trim. The stitching and the detail is there. And then, like I said, with that big 12-inch screen, it's a vertical screen in the center stack. It's pretty eye-catching for a truck. It's surprising. It's very surprising.
Yeah, I've heard the same comments from a lot of car journalists who were on Facebook posting about it. They're like, wow, they just were blown away by it because that screen is like you can do the comparison to like a Tesla screen.
I mean, bigger than your head.
Yes. That's a weird episode of Jill in the Trunk. So, the other thing that we thought was interesting, and you brought this point up, we're talking about before we did the video, is that that truck is available in the spring. Yes. The other two trucks are available in the fall.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the interesting things about FCA is they don't usually bring stuff to market and then, or like put stuff out at an auto show and then you have to wait 10 months for it to show up in dealers. You know, they're pretty good with the turnaround. So they launched the Jeep Cherokee also at the show. They're doing the press preview next week. And then I think pretty much by the end of February, it'll be in dealers. And so, you know, you've got the Ram 1500, they're going to be, which they launched at the show. They're going to be doing, I think the press preview is in March. And then, you know, obviously, by the end of Q1, they're intending for this truck to be in dealers.
And I think that's a definite advantage. I mean, you know, you get the customer excited and you get the product on the market right away. And
yeah, well, you know, it's just like I said, the level of detail that they are offering with launch materials and production materials, it's pretty interesting. And the e-torque system is interesting. So it'll be standard on the V6 Pentastar engine, and then it'll be available on the up-level Hemi engine. You know, the idea is, in addition to fuel savings, it actually adds torque. Yep. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I'm like pulling them out of my head. And I feel like it's 30 extra pound feet of torque for the V6. And then I want to say it's more than 100 pound feet of torque for the V8.
Yeah, we'll put those specs right here along the bottom. It's 30, I think, in the V6, but it's 170 in the V8. It's a substantial number, and the reason for that is it's electric, and so it's power on demand, which is pretty important. I would point out that Chevy and GMC currently have a mild hybrid truck on the marketplace right now. It's actually for sale nationwide. It's a very interesting play by Ram, because now Ram has the V8, the Hemi V8, which we had a long time. They have the eTorque V8, and they have the standard V8. They have the Pentastar V6, which, oh, by the way, I said something about on the preview show that they're going to do something with that. And then they have the diesel as well. And so you're looking at hybrid, gas, and diesel. They offer all three different options. And you look at the competitors, and so we'll talk about the competitor here in a minute with the Chevy Silverado. You know, they make news with the diesel, but it's like this whole competition with engines, and I think Ram is really kept up really well as even a third place player, and I think they're really going to challenge Chevy and Ford for some market share.
Yeah, you're okay. Not wrong.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I can't wait to drive it. So let's move on. The Chevy Silverado got unveiled as well at the show, but they did a. So go ahead, talk about the Chevy Silverado. Sorry.
No, I mean, so is this you trying to self-correct and make sure you don't talk too much? So no, so what's really interesting is I feel like they were trying to steal the thunder away from Ram 1500 because, as you remember, right before Christmas, they brought a whole bunch of journalists out to Texas, you and I among them, and we did a podcast from there, and they literally helicoptered in. You know, the Silverado, put it about 2 football fields away from us so we couldn't see it or get close to it. And then it drove off and then they put us on buses to get us away. So like we literally had two minutes to look at it and then it was gone. And so then they did an offsite preview at the auto show on Saturday night. And again, it was, you know, they did let people get up close and touch it. But there wasn't the level of detail that they were giving with the Ram 1500. And so they announced the diesel engine, but, you know, they didn't really give you any specs, but Mark Royce was on and he was like, but I'm confident we will be all of our competitors in fuel economy. And so without, you know, saying what the numbers were. So I don't know. I mean, it was interesting. It looks like a nice truck. I really like the tail end. I think the tailgate with the Chevrolet kind of etched into the back, it looks to me very classic. It kind of like a throwback to a different era. So I think it's kind of a cool look, a little bit retro. And you know, the interior was nice, but it was nowhere near Ram nice.
Yeah.
And again, I was looking at the limited model of the Ram, and I can't remember what model I was looking at of the 1500 or the Silverado, but I have to imagine they're trying to put their best face forward with whatever they're putting out there, and the Ram 1500 just looked nicer inside.
Yeah, there's an ongoing joke inside journalism that says whatever they're paying Ryan Doheny at Ram, the first thing you do is you get him away and give him double the money. And you start. That's what Chevy should do because he does a phenomenal job. And there's no way around that. What I was going to ask you about this was, do you think that having the offsite in Texas that we're at and then having the separate Saturday night offsite, do you think that ultimately hurt the Silverado? Do you think they should have like had it all at once and just launched it all at once in Detroit?
I don't know. I mean, it kind of depends on what Chevrolet was going for. As you and I both know, Chevrolet is all about return on investment. And, you know, they really are looking for people to talk about their products. And so in a way, I think they got what they were looking for, because how many videos of the helicopter, you know, bringing in the Silverado did you see? You know, how many pictures, how many stories? So, and that was like a month before the launch, you know, they were already starting to get that buzz and the word out. And then, you know, they have the offsite preview And they had a really cool display. I don't know if you saw the pictures. You probably did, where they had like a Chevrolet bow tie with the trucks and the slots, and it looked really cool. I know I took a picture of it and posted it on my Instagram, so it's out there if you missed it and wanted to take a look. You can catch it on my Instagram at Jill Simonello. And and so like they had a really neat display. And the way the vehicles were set up, it was really kind of cool. And when you do something off-site, you can be a little bit more expressive and creative, and you have more space to tell your story. I'm sure there were a lot of photos and Instagrams and things that came out of that. I tried to do a Facebook Live, but because everybody's trying to do a Facebook Live or access the internet, like mine, I got through about a quarter of the presentation, and my feed pooped out on me. But it depends on what they were going for. I think they probably got the return on investment that they were looking for, because now you've had basically 2 months of journalists talking about their product.
Fair enough. So the one controversial item that I have to ask you on the Silverado, what are your thoughts on the rear seat storage? You know you've seen this, right? So I'm thinking that is the pot. That's where you put your pot at, right? What do you put back? So if you haven't seen it and you're listening to the podcast, I'm gonna show the video here in a minute. There's a photo of it. In the rear seats of the Silverado, there's a about where your lower back is. There's a panel opens up, and I don't know if it's you've seen it. I'm not sure the dimensions of it, but it opens up. It's like a secret, like James Bond, like freaking panel that opens up, and then you have storage behind that spot.
Well, I mean, so here's where I see that coming into play is, you've got 2 kids in the back who you're taking a road trip, and they've been playing on their iPads, and mom and dad won't let you take the iPads in for dinner because, you want to actually have a physical conversation. So you're getting out of the truck. Well, where do you put your iPad? If you put it in the pocket, a thief can see that you have an iPad in the pocket behind, the driver's seat. So you open up that little panel and you stick the iPad in and close it. Like that to me is what that's for. It's for like kids and their electronics who are sitting in the back seat.
It's a very interesting panel.
It was funny because Jacob Brown from Mazda saw the picture of that on Instagram and tagged me in it, and he was like, "Jill Simonello, I don't think you're fitting in that." And I was like, "You've carved out a name for yourself about fitting in small places when, people from other brands actually draw you into the conversation." And I think my reply back to him was, "But I bet my butt would fit." So I don't know. Maybe not after all the food I had in Detroit. They are not, they are not the most green and healthy people there. There's a lot of fried food. But yeah. So I mean, that's where I see it. I think people are just trying to do interesting, space. The Buick, is it the Encore? They have like a little drawer beneath the passenger side seat. And so again, for me, it's for like electronics, your iPad, your phone. Maybe you could put your wallet there, but it's a little cubby hole that if somebody did break into your car, most thieves who aren't listening to this podcast would not know that there was a secret drawer underneath the passenger seat. I feel like, was it the Mazda 5 had one of those things where the front seat of the Mazda 5 popped up, and there was like a little.
We were looking at it. Actually, Jeep has one. The Cherokee had one as well. And my wife liked it a lot because if you pop that forward, it gives a place to put the purse. And so if she's heading running the store real fast or she's running the school real fast, she doesn't have to, hide it. And so I'm a fan of that idea, but the middle of the back and the rear seat, I'm a little bit cautious on how that's going to work out.
Like I said, I'm seeing it as, kids going into dinner, store your iPad back there.
Sure.
That's or you've got 4 guys who are working. I have to be honest, full disclosure, I did not actually see the panel, so I don't have a visual of. I've seen pictures of it, but I didn't see it in person, so I don't have a visual of what exactly it could hold. But I mean, if it could hold a laptop, and you've got 4 guys like who are in the truck for work, and they're on a work site and they don't want to take their laptop with them, you stick it in there and close it. Maybe that be what it's for. I don't know, but like I said, I didn't see if a laptop could fit back there.
I still think it's a great pot holder. But all right, moving on. So Ford had several announcements at the show, but let's talk Ranger first. So that was the big news, right? The Ranger's coming back. Ford has finally admitted maybe they made a mistake on that or whatever you want to talk about, how you want to spin that. But the Ranger's back. And so you were at the Ranger offsite. So what'd you think?
It's kind of like one of those movies where you hear all this great stuff about it, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to see it. And then you finally go see it, and you're like, oh, yeah, it was fine. That's not to denigrate the product at all, because, I mean, it's certainly something that Ford needs to do. They're missing out. They left the market in 2011, so they've been out for 7-8 years. And in that time, the mid-sized truck segment has grown like 84%, and they weren't a part of that. So, I mean, they needed to do it. They needed to bring it back. But it was just a little bit anticlimactic, especially because they upstaged themselves with another announcement that was not a truck.
Yes.
And it was like, okay, everybody's waiting for the Ranger. Everybody's expecting the Ranger. Everybody knew the Ranger would be there. And then, you know, they bring out a Mustang Bullitt with the original 1968 Mustang Bullitt, which of course nobody on here cares about, but they upstage themselves, the people who care about that stuff.
And it is interesting. I was discussing this elsewhere, how conservative the approach is with the Ranger. So it's one engine. It's a 2.3 liter EcoBoost, I believe it is. 2.something mm-hmm. liter. It's very, they're going to have an off-road package. You're going to actually do a really cool off-road package. I'm forgetting the feature name of it, but it's an off-road train select system.
4X Off-Road Pro or something like that.
Yeah, but they're basically going to have a train select and a crawl control feature like Toyota has. And so it's going to be great because they're focusing on the off-road segment of the mid-size truck market, which is really where it's hot. That's really the ZR2, the Tacoma TRD Pro. That's really where the things are hot. So it makes sense. I don't like the fact there's one engine choice. I don't like the fact how conservative that is. I don't like the fact how the design is so conservative. Maybe some of the different trim levels will be more exciting, but it's not something that's very exciting. And also, there's really no good fleet option, right? I mean, so it's going to have Super Cab and Super Crew. There's no regular cab. There's no other base V6 engine. That's what you're going to have. So the Ranger was a big fleet buy for many years. Ortho that shoots, Ortho does the pest control, shoots chemicals. The pest control company used to annually buy a lot of Rangers because it fit their, they could get in the bed. All their techs could reach into the bed and grab the materials they needed to do their job. And so it's interesting they came back with this truck that really doesn't have a whole lot of fleet features, and I'm not seeing any fleet trims. When that was what was really driving the marketplace for the Ranger before. So, I don't know. I also thought it was interesting that, you spoke of the Mustang Bullitt, which, find it, go see it. It's a cool car. But Ford had announced the diesel in the F-150. They had announced the Edge and the Edge Sport version
ST.
Of it. ST version. ST. And so they had a lot to announce there, but then, like you said, they killed themselves because I don't know. It's they could have done more with the diesel. They could have done more of a tech stuff like the Ram did, but they didn't. And it leaves you like, I want to be excited about it because I think the Rangers really was a great truck back in the day, and I'm really excited to see it back in the U.S. marketplace. But I'm definitely torn as you see the design of it. It's not as sexy as the ZR2 is. It's not as exciting as that is. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I mean, again, back to the interiors. I'm sure I was looking at a low trim model, but you know, the interior was very unsexy. It looked a little bit inexpensive, and I was looking at cloth seats, and I don't know. It was a little bit unexciting.
Yeah. All right, so let's move to the SUVs because that's the truck conversation, mm-hmm. which everybody's calling the big truck show, but When I look at that stuff, to me, it's a Ram and Silverado show. Let's talk about Cherokee. So Cherokee was unveiled maybe the week before, but it was their big press conference Tuesday morning. Did you get a chance to get over and check out the new Cherokee?
I did ish. It was because the press conference was Tuesday morning, so it's like really the last big press conference of the show. It was completely swarmed with people like every time I went over. So it was hard. And then you didn't have that extra, oh, tomorrow I'll check it out because, there is no tomorrow. so there is no tomorrow. I'm saying that very esoterically.
I just had a Rocky movie play back in my head.
I have no idea.
Apollo Creed. Apollo's like, there's no tomorrow, Rocky. They're on the beach. All right. Anyways. Moving on.
Yeah, I got nothing.
You've seen pictures of it, and the biggest, yeah. I mean, there's some safety changes, some design changes, but the big thing was the exterior change. So like the front grill.
The headlights different.
Yeah, the whole thing changed.
It did, and that I would say is that's interesting. So. I don't know if you think back to the LA Auto Show, Hyundai launched the Kona, their little, compact SUV, and it had those weird lights, kind of like the Cherokee had, and very polarizing, but very unique. And I remember when I looked at the Kona, I was like, oh, they're kind of punking Cherokee a little bit here. And then, Cherokee redesigns their SUV, and they basically take out those headlights. Mm-hmm. And you still get the eyebrow because they've kind of integrated it into a much bigger light, but they've gone back to a more traditional headlight.
Yeah, I think what's interesting to me about the Cherokee is that if you remember back when they launched it, there was a spy photos done of the front grill. I think it was factory. Somebody in the factory took a picture of it. And it got blown apart in Twitter. People did not like it at all. A lot of conversations about it. And so, that's your first impression, was a lot of journalists didn't like it. And so now they're going back and changing that. And so I think that maybe played a role in that. I think it maybe had an impact on what they're thinking.
Yeah. Well, and I'll actually be driving that next week. So I'll certainly have more to say coming up soon.
Good. Let's keep it moving. Acura RDX. The interesting thing here was they kept saying prototype.
Yeah.
But they literally said, no, that's the way it's going to be. Why? And I'm like, why would you say prototype then? I don't know.
Apparently it's a Honda Acura thing, because on the Honda side, they launched the Honda Insight prototype. And, basically they don't want to call it like the 2019 Acura RDX because, they may tweak a couple of little things. And so by calling it a prototype, it gives them a little bit of leeway to make any fine tuning changes. And, somebody would say, but that wasn't in the vehicle that you showed in Detroit. And they're like, well, that's because that was a prototype, And so I think it's just more of a legal thing or wiggle room if somebody came out and said, oh, I really hate this knob right here. That gives them room to make a quick change. That's the only thing I can figure. But the interior is incredibly sexy. They did a great job with the interior of that vehicle. It looks really, really nice. I've been kind of hard on Acura recently because I look at their vehicles and I look at it and I'm like, why would I buy this over a Honda? Mm-hmm. There is nothing special here to warrant a $10,000 to $15,000 upcharge. And I think the RDX, the new RDX will change that. I think the interior definitely goes up market and will certainly be a reason to buy the RDX, if you want something that is a little bit more luxe level.
Yeah, that was interesting. They made a point of this in press release as well, is that this is the first Acura that has its own platform. It's the first time that they're not. It's not going to be a right. It's not going to be the CRV RDX similar platform. It's its own platform, and it's its own powertrains as well. So they're really reaching out, really trying to make themselves more of that premium player, not just an upscale Honda.
And they needed to do that because literally I've been stumbling over writing an Acura TLX review because I'm like, I don't see this as any better than the Honda Accord that they just launched, which is won the North American Car of the Year. So obviously, pretty awesome vehicle. So why do I want to buy this Acura?
Right.
So, I think that they needed to do what they're doing with the RDX. And like I said, the interior is, it's very nice.
Okay. We got a little bit more time left. Let's talk about a concept that you really liked.
Yeah.
Was the Lexus Limitless LF1.
Yes. I was kind of mesmerized by this. I mean, there were a couple things going on that there were a couple times I just went and I stood by the turntable and just stared at it. And, some of the Lexus guys were coming up to me. They're like, you can get a little bit closer. You can we can open the doors for you. Cause I kept coming back. where do I even start? So the first thing is the color, it's this beautiful copper rose goldy iridescent liquid looking color. And, they didn't name it. They specifically did not name it because they're trying to gauge the reaction of this color. So go look at the photos. If you're watching this, Tim's going to show some photos of it or put some B-roll of it out there. But check, look at this color and it first, see if you like it, or don't like it. And then if you have a Twitter account, tweet about it, because Lexus actually wants to hear what you think about this color. Because even if they don't bring the concept out, they may bring the color out. Mm. And so that's thing number one. And then thing number two is with this color, if you like it, name it. Because they haven't named it, because they want to open it up to people to give it a name. And they said the inspiration for the color was kind of like a copper pot. And to me, it looks a little bit like a Moscow Mule mug, because those are copper as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So I just, in the light, auto show light is very glaring and bright. But in the light, it literally, as it was on the turntable, just looked liquid. It was molten copper. I don't know. It was very cool. So that was thing number one. But thing number two is, if you look at the inside of this concept, it is production ready. And I believe it was Chad Deshane from Lexus that I was talking to, and he said that, it's a concept, but, depending on how people like it. So this is supposed to be a harbinger of the flagship crossover concept, flagship crossover. They've had, flagship SUVs, but this is, a crossover concept. And so if people like it, the idea being that they could potentially turn it around and build it like that, because the interior is so production ready. And, we saw with the Lexus LC, that was just supposed to be a concept. And then, they turned around a year later and and we're building it. So if you like this car, so first, if you like the color, tell me you like the color. But if you like this vehicle, also tweet about it or put it out there into social media, because they're really looking for feedback is this something that they should build? Because I kind of pitch him down a little bit. I'm like, come on, you guys have been doing a lot of concepts. You're not building any of them. What the heck? And he's like, that is true. He's like, but look at the interior of this one. He's like, if people like it, we really could potentially build this. I mean, still a nebulous answer. Could potentially maybe kind of sort of build it. But, the build quality of the interior makes me think that they're a little bit more serious about this one than they have been about some of the others.
It's a great point. I mean, Lexus needed a shot in the arm, and the LC500, it definitely gave them a big shot in the arm. It's a sexy looking car, no doubt. And this was a very interesting, when I saw it, I had to actually message the Toto rep, it was their Toto Lexus reps usually do each other's products. And I'm like, so this is coming to market. It literally looks like it could just fit right into the product portfolio, what they're offering.
Yeah. And I mean, the grill would probably need to be changed a little bit because when I was talking to Chad, I was like, it looks almost like a Dali painting, the way that the spindles kind of weave in together. It almost looks a little bit melty. So I don't know. So they may need to streamline that and make it look a little more like their production cars already out there. And they might have to do a little bit of stuff with the headlights and taillights to make them road legal. But yeah, I mean, that it looks like it's something that would just slot right into their portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's everything about the Turtle show that we found interesting. There may be some pieces you found. You can comment below. I want to give those viewers and listeners who've hung out the entire show a great little teaser. All right, if you made it this far, congratulations. Next week, Jill is driving a new Jeep Cherokee, so she'll talk about that. I'm going to be in Houston, where Ram is unveiling a new truck. Yes, it's a new truck trim, likely. It's likely going to be a Dallas, Texas, or not Dallas, but it's going to be a Texas model. But hey, I will be there to show. You'll see videos there. We're trying to pump up the subscribers because YouTube has like decided that if we have 1,000 subscribers, we're going to get kicked off the airwaves. I will be there for that. I will be there shooting some video as well of the show and what's going to happen. I'll try to get the I'm going to try to see if I can't find like a beer bottle and put in the back of the Silverado if it's there and see if that fits in the rear seats. You know, things that are you need, you know, that's a very thing you can do.
Completely random aside, because I'm going to digress for 2 seconds since you brought up putting a beer bottle inside a car. I believe there is one state in the union where you can drive with an open container, and that would be Mississippi.
Oh.
I could be completely wrong. If anybody out there knows, post it below and let me know. But I think you can actually drink and drive, like, with an open container in Mississippi. So fitting that beer bottle in there would be...
It'd be handy.
It'd be handy. Okay, so completely, well, coming up, back to our regularly scheduled program. Coming up, Dallas.
Houston. I'll be in Houston. You'll be Jeep Cherokee. Yes. We'll have interviews, we'll have videos, and we'll have more. So stay with us, and we'll see you down the road.